Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and this is a not safe for work podcast. We are teachers who are at the end of the week and really the end of our ropes, and we'd like to be able to talk openly about our jobs. And so we use pseudonyms so we can keep these jobs, because no matter how much we bitch, we still like teaching. We might not like it in 2020, but we like teaching. Anyway, Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is brought to you by some amazing Patreons at Patreon. I'd give them a shout out right now. Miss Cara T, Kristen C, Amanda T, Johanna H, Tony and Christina K, Irma A, Rebecca J, Melissa M, Lisa S, Casey B, Casey M, and Sarah N. Thank you guys so much for your support. If you're interested in hearing extra episodes or a counterpoint to today's episode, go to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast and find their Patreon, because it's amazing. As little as $5, you can get swag, bonus episodes, extra episodes, and really, a neat thing I did this week, which I've never done before, I hosted two podcasts, well, the same podcast, but with two of our groups. And so all the questions you hear today, if you want to hear what Miss Sparkles thinks, what Miss Lucille Lane thinks, what Turd Ferguson thinks, join our Patreon. You can hear this episode, but with them answering these same questions. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, LudLamDramatics.com. If you are a theater teacher or know one in your building, send them to LudLamDramatics.com so they can get educational theater posters. They have everything from Parts of Stage to Audrey McDonald bio poster, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Once Upon a Time on Broadway. There's literally so much stuff they have. You need to check them out. All right, if you have a story or something you'd like to share with us here at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, you can tag us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can share it through the contact page on our website, teacherneedsdrinkpodcast.com. All right, please make sure you subscribe, follow, leave a review, but really, if you want to help us and don't feel like doing Patreon, the best way you can is find one person in your building who hasn't heard us and tell them something you heard on the podcast. Really, one person telling another person, it's the best way to go. But you can always leave a review. All right, my friends, I hope you enjoy today's podcast. It's going to be great. Here we go, episode 55.
Balls.
And welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast.
I hate everything right now.
I am Elvis, your host. And today I am joined by Miss Shirley Temper.
I will smash your face into a car windshield and then take your mother, Dorothy Mantooth, out for a delicious seafood dinner and never call her again.
Hey, Dorothy Mantooth was a saint of a woman. And then also Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Rick killed a guy.
I saw that.
Yeah, you might want to lay low for a while, man. Maybe I'll watch Anchorman tonight. That sounds fun.
You should.
I should. Well, guys, welcome to week blah, blah, blah of the school year that wasn't a school year. It's weird. I'm going back and forth between like, okay, I finally cracked the code on how to handle this kind of weird bullshit lesson. And then something will come and just like punch me in the face. I mean, that was always kind of teaching, but it feels much harder right now with everything going on. But man, I don't know. Like, I felt almost like the last 20 minutes of today's school, I was just kind of like, I don't know what to do here. I feel almost like, what do you call it? Not a prison guard, because the kids were pretty well behaved. They were just having issues in all these different small groups. I felt more just like a plate spinner. Just like, whoom, whoom, whoom. And then finally I was like, you know what? There's not much I can do here. I just got to kind of ride this out.
I straight up gave up these last 2 days. Like, I'm not going to lie. I straight up gave up, because it's the last 6 weeks. And I've got like 20 kids who are completely online who have done nothing. And I've called parents and I've emailed and I've begged and I've done everything I can. And they were like, you know, you have to make contact. And I have, which is so stupid. But anyway, I did. And I've got so many kids failing. I'm just like begging for anything at this stage. So for the last 2 days, like all my face-to-face kids, every single one of them has everything turned in. And I was like, surprise, let's hang out. Tell me about your life.
Wow.
Like, I ain't doing that. Nah.
No, I'm struggling just because, I don't know, I had almost a reset. I had a lot of kids. Oh, I can't wait to hear Bunny's take on this. But I had kids that came back that have been virtual for the last couple months. And some of them are young. And a lot of them have lost their goddamn minds because they've forgotten how to behave in a classroom. And so it was like literally
Don't, no, no, stay in your seat. We're doing this. I had a kid go on the floor because there was a chapstick that was underneath, like, a desk or a box or something that's been there for God knows how long. He took the cap off and was about to put it on his mouth. It was only because me and the other kids started saying, like, stop, stop, don't, no, no, no. And while this is happening, I've got, like, another 9 kids, like, on virtual who I'm trying to talk to. All of a sudden, I have to stop to get this kid to not eat chapstick. I was like, what the fuck? And, and I was working with some young kids, too. And there are some that have been home for, like, the last 6. We went from having, like, 6 kids at home to having just 1 at home. And the rest came back. Like, there was always, like, 12 or 14 or whatever in the classroom. And the kids who were gone, they forgot how to behave in a classroom, too. Because they just kind of get up and start wandering around or just yelling things. I'm like, you're not in your own home anymore. Other people can see you. I can't mute you. Yeah, this behavior won't fly. And holy shit, Bunny, what's going on with you? Because I knew your kids were coming back this week.
I've gotten probably 8 or 10 between kids that got schedule changes for other things or kids that are, I've got a few that are just brand new to the school, probably 8 or 10 new students in person this week, including 2 who were not enrolled in school for the first 6 weeks. There's still that element of, I felt like I had gotten my classroom, like, procedures and situation just about where I had a handle on it, and then 10 new kids show up.
You know, I think that's exactly what it was. I kind of started feeling like I had a little bit of a handle on it, and then we had some kids come back that, no, you are 100%. That fucks you up. Tell me more, buddy. Tell me more!
Oh, Lord. Attempting to teach in person and online at the same time continues to be an adventure. But I did have a moment of sticking it to a kid who was being disruptive on purpose today. The online, like, synchronous meeting for my class was optional today because it was just kind of the assignment they were doing. It was kind of independent work. So I had the meeting logged on, but there wasn't, you know, unless they had questions, there wasn't anything they had to be there for. So this one kid was the only one who came to the meeting today because he was bored. And so as I'm talking, he keeps unmuting himself and playing loud music that's not necessarily classroom appropriate kind of thing.
Oh, hell.
And about the third time it happened, I had external speakers plugged in, and I just reached over and unplugged the speakers so the kids could still hear me, but they couldn't hear anything he was doing.
That's awesome.
He got mad and signed out of the meeting and left. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Sorry.
I actually had a really interesting experience with one of my kids because, you know, I'm just getting to know them. So I have this kid and he was quarantined for a good long while. And so I had him like a few times, like the first 2 weeks, because we were doing that AB thing.
Yeah.
So I had maybe seen him like 3 times, and then he had to quarantine forever. And he had just come back, doesn't know me at all, but he's, you know, they're in between classes and he's standing in the hallway with one of his friends, and they walk by my room, just kind of headed a little bit further down, and his friend goes, "Ooh, Mrs. Temper looking fine as hell today," like super loud. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, it doesn't really happen. I'm pretty scary when I feel like it. I just kind of froze because it's embarrassing because, like, everybody in the class is looking at me like, oh my God. Like, thankfully, nobody laughed or anything. They just looked at me with, like, big saucer eyes. This kid goes, "Yo, you need to shut up. She's super nice. Don't talk about her like that."
That's so sweet.
I know. And he came in and I was like, I don't hug, first of all. But if I did, I still wouldn't. But also, thank you. You are a very polite young man and you are awesome. So thank you. And he's like, well, he doesn't need to talk about girls that way and women that way. It's disrespectful. I was like, oh my God, my heart. I like you so much.
The last class of the day sometimes gets the, like, not the best version of me. It's not even them. I think it's usually just the class that follows the shit class doesn't get the best class. Even if they're a perfectly okay, average group, like, I'll get the shit class and I'll either be grouchy or just I won't put the energy into it because they just kind of, like, pooped in your face. It's not pooped in your face. They, like, were monkeys and just kind of grabbed poop and started flinging it anywhere.
I've got my advanced class immediately after my most difficult trying class. I've got a little bit of that, but I feel like having my super enthusiastic group immediately after my super challenging group kind of maybe helps put me back in a little bit better mood. But I always feel like I have to be really conscious of it when my advanced group gets there, because otherwise I'm like, I'm going to be biting y'all's heads off over something that has nothing to do with you. Like, it's not your fault that the class before you acts like kindergartners on speed.
Yeah.
I have a question.
All right.
It's an educational question. It's a conundrum. So I teach the student who has a teacher, and she says this teacher's nice. She's a good teacher. She learns, but not every day, but it's been three times recently in the last 2 weeks. This student has come in my class super heated because her teacher is like, hey, Trump is amazing. Let me tell you why. Trump has done more for Black people than any other president. My student is Black. And my student is like, no, he hasn't. You're white. Are you kidding? And she doesn't say anything because she's very introverted. She's very passive. But she comes to me and she's like, I'm really uncomfortable. It has nothing to do with our class. It has nothing to do with the subject matter. And all it does is it makes me feel bad. But today she came in and she said, somebody brought up Black Lives Matter. And this teacher went on a tangent about how Black Lives Matter was just a bunch of thugs. And it was all about violence.
God, I hate
it was
the South.
Only about, oh, it gets better. It gets better. It's only about violence and how as a white person, she is scared of Black Lives Matter. She is so scared that it makes her nervous to be in a classroom with Black people.
Get out of the profession then, because that is racist as fuck.
It is. So I called some assistant principals. Like, I did it immediately. I was like, this needs to be checked. But the thing was, I had to be careful about who I called, because I have some assistant principals who would completely cheer her and like tell her she was doing the Lord's work and stuff. So I had to like sit down and think about who the best person is. Jeez. That's the world we live in. How can you, as a fucking teacher, get away with shit like that? We're predominantly Black at my school. So why are you here? Go to Norway or something where there are a bunch of white people. I don't really know where white people go.
Are teachers okay? No, and toxic positivity isn't helping. This article is by Julie Mason. Not having a voice in reopening plans, choosing between your children and your students, teaching students online and in person at the same time, working twice as hard without a pay increase. For many, this is teaching in 2020. And yes, writing, teachers can virtually do anything with icing and putting it on a cake in the teacher's lounge is nice. Hearing, we're all in this together is nice. Staff shoutouts on Friday celebrating all the hard and extra work teachers are doing is nice. But you know what's nicer? Adequate prep time during contract hours to plan, hazard pay for teachers who are teaching in person, and how about school cultures that don't center on toxic positivity, but on the teacher's physical and mental health? Amen! Good job, Julie. I'm going to keep reading this.
Yes, yes.
What do we mean by toxic positivity? When someone says to you, it could be worse, or look on the bright side, they might mean well, but what they're saying is an example of toxic positivity. Toxic positivity is when we focus on the positive and reject, deny, or displace the negative. In theory, it sounds like being optimistic, but in reality, pushing aside our unpleasant emotion only makes them better. In schools, toxic positivity may look like administrators urging teachers to take time for self-care, but then loading them down with extra meetings and responsibilities. It may look like someone's hanging a teacher strong banner in the hallway, but not paying for enough soap in the bathroom. It may look like conversations that encourage teachers to stay positive while not digging deeper into the issues that really matter, whether it's COVID-19, equity, or school culture. Toxic positivity has got to go, and it starts with us. And now I'm going to say a few things that might ruffle a few feathers. This is by the article, not by me, of course. In order for things to change, it has to start with us, the teachers. Let's stop wearing our stress like a badge of honor and start getting real. While it may feel tempting to blame our admin or our district or the Department of Education or our society, that's not going to make anything better for us in 2020. Instead, let's stop buying into toxic positivity. We can do this, and I only cried once today, and start being real. No, I can't do that because it isn't in my contract, and I am not going to work all night and every weekend because it is not in my contract. 2020 is completely out of control, and the only certainty is uncertainty. Here are five things I wish I had done when I was teaching. Let's shift the culture from I can do it all and more to I can do what I was hired to do. Number one, stop showing up early and staying late. Number two, stop taking work with you everywhere you go. Number three, stop saying yes to more work because you feel like you should. Number four, rewrite the story. The teacher martyr work 24/7 narrative has got to go. And five, at the end of the day, teaching is a job and it's okay to see it that way. Amen. Good job. Okay, I want to say it one more time. That was Julie Mason at weareteachers.com. That was really, really good. If you listen to the podcast, we do a lot of, okay, take self-care or practice self-care, take care of yourself. But I think we're also very open about saying, yeah, if you're hurting, it's okay to show it. It's okay to tell people. You don't have to pretend. It's also really important, like they were saying in the article, to be honest about your pain. And whether like, oh, it's okay to like, no, this really sucks. I'm getting beat down. I don't know if I can do this much longer. You need to be honest about those things. And they need to know. And I think teachers, for the most part, I think in the spring, there was a lot of the toxic positivity as this person where a lot of like, oh, we can do it. Rah, rah, rah. But I think now that it's not gone away in 2 months and we don't know when the end is coming, it's hard to stay positive. I think it's important people know that, hey, this is not okay.
It is not okay. Well, I mean, the whole thing, I am not an optimistic person at all.
Really?
Ever. What? No, I'm not. And it really chaps my melons when I hear that shit. I honestly, I immediately am like, okay, well, you can suck a fart out of my butt because I'm tired and I'm unhappy. This morning, I was hanging out with one of my teacher friends in the hall, and one of the only administrators I like rolls up. And off campus, we're friends, but, you know, I don't trust people who make more money than me. So I always filter. I don't. So I always filter myself pretty hard. And he was standing there talking, and I just looked at him and I was like, look, this is my morning vent session. I can't do that with you here. And he laughed and he was like, are you okay? I was like, kind of dumbass question is that? Are any of us okay? And he laughed and he's one of those toxic positivity people. And he started to say something. And I said, before you start, that does not help me. I know you mean well, but that does not help me. And he got really quiet and he goes, you know, I have stress-related vertigo. I just got it this year. I can't do this and I can't do that. And I just looked at him and I was like, that sucks. He's like, yeah, it does suck. I feel like sometimes that's all you need is just somebody to be like, yeah, that really sucks. I don't need people to like try to solve my problems for me.
That's kind of what Rosie was saying on the mental health episode special. Like, sometimes you just need somebody to validate and say, you're right, that blows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I worry about some of our administrators because, like, the AP that I have the best relationship with, like, she's just a sweet, sweet person. And I know that she is carrying the weight of the world on her right now because we had a staffing change. And so she's taking on more responsibilities even than compared to last year because she's our only full-time AP at the moment. And she's also like the most approachable administrator and like the one that everybody kind of goes to with their concerns and their problems because she's the one that we all trust. And I'm just, I worry about her. I'm like, who's taking care of her? Because she's so busy like keeping it together for everybody else. And I hope that she has somebody in her life that does for her what she does for us as far as like, yeah, you're right. That sucks.
I feel like I don't have the same type of relationship with admin that I had in the past. At some places, I'm very friendly. I've known them for many years. They know a lot. We know a lot about each other's personal lives. But I feel like I'm so busy now when I'm at school that if it's not really something I need to address for the job, I don't really have the time or the willpower to do a lot of small talk. Like, I really do just come up, mm-hmm. and then on my lunch break, I don't really hang out and chat with everybody. I get out and go eat lunch. My house is close to one of the schools, so I'll just go home and eat lunch. And then when it's time, I'll come back. I might, like, work in the library with the lights out for a while. And then once the end of the day has happened, I'll leave. Like, I'll message and I'll send whatever info, but I don't really feel like I have that, I don't know, that relationship. But I'm also so damn tired. And when it's done, I want to be done. Like, I like these people. They're my friends. But I just want to get out. Like, I need to go let the... I've got other stuff to do. I don't know. It kind of bums me out that it's come to that, that in order to survive, I have to kind of cut some of these little things out. And it's like, oh, I miss that person. I miss all the bullshit. But there's literally no time unless I spend like an extra 30 minutes or hour outside of my hours.
Speaking of not having time, I lost 3/4 of my conference period today to a fire drill and a lockdown drill.
Well, I had to sub during my conference period today. I had to sub for somebody else's class because we don't have enough subs.
Do they pay you for that? Because some districts pay for that.
They did last year, but they're not doing it this year.
Oh, no, ma'am.
That's some bullshit.
I'm fully aware. It is some utter bullshit. In fact, we have a little study hall class period, and they told me because my work wife was out today, and they were like, hey, we need you to take her study hall. And I said, nope, can't do it. I have a full study hall myself. I can't fit any students safely in my classroom. And they're like, well, you're just gonna have to figure that out. I was like, no. Yeah. You're going to have to figure it out. I put my foot down, and I think that's what this is about, though. Clear boundaries. No, this is not in my contract. No, I don't get paid for it. I'm not going to do it. And it's kind of risky because, you know, I'm inherently, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want negative attention on me. But at the same time, it's not my job. That's their job. You're telling me that an assistant principal or one of the secretaries or somebody can't go sit in there for a study hall period? I don't think so.
I agree philosophically that yes, absolutely, we need to be putting our foot down about stuff. And in the last district I worked in, I felt like I was there for enough years that I had some trust built up and I had some street cred, I guess, for lack of better terms. Like, I could have gotten away with stuff like that without it being a problem. Mm-hmm. But the way things work in Texas, at least in my area, is that for the first 2-3 years that you're with the district, you're on a probationary contract. Like, they can non-renew you at the end of the year for no specific reason, and they don't owe you an explanation. So I am still, since I'm still relatively new in the district that I'm in, I still worry about rocking the boat too much and being renewed because I'm not a team player. So for those of us, I feel like those of us, especially in right-to-work states where we don't have unions as such that can advocate for us.
Yes.
You're hearing my cat in the background. She agrees. I feel like that's a little bit more of a complicated dance, maybe. Like, I've never taught in a union state, so I don't know. It may be just as bad, but that's my perception of it from here.
Well, hey, guys, guess what?
We have
a Patreon. It's just like OnlyFans, but instead of our genitalia, you get to hear lots of bonus episodes, extra episodes, lost episodes, lots of cut content. You get to sometimes hear things before they come out. And also, if you want Teacher Needs a Drink stuff without having to sign up for Patreon, you can just buy it at our store at www.teacherneedsadrink.com, because we have all the shot glasses and beer koozies and coasters, and they're beautiful. You want them? We got stickers, so you can just like put it. There you go. You'd be good.
You can stick them anywhere.
Yeah.
Yikes.
You're gifted 24 hours where you and your pets are suddenly able to understand each other and have real conversations like your old best friends just catching up on lost time. What would you want to tell them, and how would you want to spend those hours with them?
Oh.
I chose this one for you guys.
Okay, so I have cats. I would 100% ask one of them, hey, why don't you love me like you love your dad? Because I want you to love me more. What can I do for you? Also, please stop getting poop stuck to your butt and then running around the house, because it's not fun to pull it off. And then I would ask the second one why he's just the best cat ever, because he's so sweet.
My dog just came up here, went to my lap. I'd spend a lot of time talking to my dog just about everything, but the cat would be like, hey, we cool? And she'd be like, fuck you. Or she'd be like, all right. And then I probably would never hear from her again. But the dog, he and I would spend all kinds of time. We'd go play games. He'd really just want to sit outside and then come inside and watch me poop. I think those are the two things he really wants to do more than anything. Yeah, I bet if he learned about like drive-thrus, he would like want a lot of food. He'd, like, take me in the car, and let's go to. I want to have my head out the window, and then I want food put in that window, and then I want to drive on. But then I want to put my head out the window and get food put in the window. I think that would be what most of our conversations. I might not tell him about drive-thrus.
When I met him, he went straight for my crotch, so I'd probably encourage you to have a conversation with him about that and be like,
I warn all women who come in the house. I say, hey, he's going to get in your business. Push him away. I said, just don't be shy. Kick him, push him. And once he gets a good like sniff and knows what you're about, then he leaves you alone. But he's going to get all up in there and like learn some truths. And it's not true.
What about you, Bunny?
I would tell my cat that I love her over and over and over again, repeatedly. I would try to negotiate and come to an understanding about the possibility of getting a doggo again. She seems like she's pretty satisfied being an only child, so we might have to have some contract negotiations there. I would tell her that I love her more, and that she's the best kitty ever. And I would ask her to please stop screaming every time she doesn't get her way, because she just walks around like meowing and howling whenever she doesn't get what she wants.
Are you not supposed to do that?
Lately she wants to go outside and eat grass and then come back inside.
They like to do that.
Or just go outside and sniff things. Like, even if she doesn't eat grass and throw up, like, she just sits at the back door and just screams and cries. And to hear her, you would think that she's the most abused, neglected, unloved creature ever. And I'm like, get back on your heated cat bed after you drink from your electric fountain and eat your $50 a bag prescription cat food. Like, get out of here with that on the business. Yeah. We didn't have a chat about that.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to thank my host today, Ms. Shirley Temper.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
And of course, thank you for joining us, Ms. Bunny O'Hare.
I was going to say a line about San Diego right there, but then decided maybe it was inappropriate.
A whale's vagina.
All right, guys. Well, have a great week. Deep breaths, deep drinks. Cheers.
Cheers.
Balls.
There's some whores in this house.
All right, my friends. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is sponsored by Ludlam Dramatics. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook, or you can hit us up on the contact page of our website. Please share and leave a review and tell just one person about our podcast. Help spread the word, keep us going. And if you're one of those people who wants to hear how the rest of our podcasters feel about these issues, go to Patreon, and it's one of our downloads. We do a couple of new episodes and bonus content on Patreon about every week or every other week or so. So there's a huge backlog of stuff. If you need more Teacher Needs Drink, go to Patreon. You can find it there for as little as $5. All right, my friends, thank you. Please take care, and please write in. I'd love to hear some more questions from you guys. Bye.
I don't have pants on. I don't have pants on. I don't have no pants on.